The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, hope you're all well. You're listening to Thursday's Racing Podcast here with Dave Kellner and Alex Dunn in the studio to have a look at the action on Thursday afternoon and evening. We've got Goodwood, Ayr and Wetherby in the afternoon, Sandown, Salisbury and Clonmel in the evening. I'll be in the studio with you on Thursday afternoon as well, alongside Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell, so looking forward to that. Hopefully you can join us then. But right now it's myself and Alex here to have a look through Thursday's racing action. Alex has picked out three races for you at Wetherby, and he'll have a pick in each. But first, let's talk through some of the racing, or the prominent racing stories widely reported in the press over the last couple of days. And I suppose the biggest story is that Kieran Fallon has been given the ride on Iktimal in the Oaks by Saeed Bin Saror. The Godolphin riding situation developing all the time, and it looks as if Saeed Bin Saror might have lost a little bit of patience with the riding skills of both Silvestre de Souza and Mikel Barcelona.
Yeah, it's a funny one, this. I mean, of all the people as well that you thought would start taking the ride, you wouldn't think it'd be Kieran Fallon. It sort of doesn't match, but at the same time, he is riding very well at the minute.
It doesn't match, but having said that, Alex, he's experienced and he can ride to instruction, and I think that might...
I think that was the issue with Barcelona.
Definitely. Yeah.
De Souza I'm more surprised about, purely because I think he's up there with the best of them. I'm not saying that Mikel Barcelona isn't, but at the minute Barcelona isn't riding as he was a year ago. He's not full of confidence as he was. And I think that has affected the way that he's riding. You can tell that Godolphin aren't especially happy with him, the way that he's riding, as you alluded to there. If it's just a simple case of not following instructions, then the logical thing is to not give him any rides. But at the same time, it's bizarre that Fallon's there, because not too long ago it was looking possibly a little bit bleak for him. Lost the job with Luca Cumani, and you thought, is he going to actually get the quantity of rides here to make it worthwhile? You look at people like Jimmy Fortune, say, who went freelance and didn't really work for him, did it? You know, just getting bits and bobs. And Tom Queeley now as well is sort of, you know, he's got a few sort of rides a bit for Ismail Mohamed and people like that, but he doesn't get the amount that he had when he was riding for Cecil. So Fallon is at the top of his game at the minute. He really is. I mean, he obviously won the Guineas on Night of Thunder, and he's riding really well. But yeah, it is a bit of a bizarre scenario, in that neither De Souza or Barcelona have been told, we're not going to use you, but at the same time they're not being used on the big mounts like Iktimal in the Oaks.
They're still retained jockeys, but they've got less responsibility than they had before,
which is, I think, if we were to put that in football terms, Dave, it's hiring a director of football to go above a manager. And it basically just undermines them completely. That said, I think Iktimal's got a very good chance in the Oaks.
7-1 here.
Regardless of who's on it. She's a horse I really like. Very impressed with her in Maidan. Thought she ran pretty well in the Guineas as well. And can definitely see her running well, whoever's on her. Fallon, De Souza, both good jockeys. So from a punting point of view, doesn't bother me especially. But certainly one to monitor and keep an eye on, I think, for the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, you get the feeling that it's going to come to a head at some point.
Yeah, you'd imagine so.
And we're waiting for that day. Elsewhere, Warwick had to abandon racing on Tuesday evening. Not the first time they've been in trouble, Warwick, with the state of the ground on that bend. And it's especially prevalent when there's firm ground and there's a little bit of rain, a little bit of wet weather. Ryan Moore won't ride there after he injured his shoulder badly in a meeting at Warwick. And Salika Varma, who's the clerk of the course, has come out in the press and said that she's going to discuss the options they have with the BHA's inspector, of course, as Nikki Carlisle. First of all, I've got an opinion on this, but first of all, what do you make to the whole story with regards to Warwick?
Well, it's not something you want to see, first and foremost.
Oh, it's devastating, isn't it?
Artful lady.
For George Margerson and the Graham Lodge partnership with Artful Lady suffering that fatal fall on Tuesday night.
First and foremost, that's not something you want to see. But at the same time, if you know that something is... If you know it gets slippy there, it's not like it's a one-off. It's happened before. Either everything should be done to prevent it, whether that's putting a lot of sand down, whatever you need to do.
They've tried to put the sand down, haven't they? And they've mentioned maybe reducing the number of runners, field sizes, for instance. But I don't like that. I'd like to see field sizes left as they are. I want to see the problem being solved.
Yeah, I'd agree. I wouldn't know how to solve that problem.
The problem is they need to bring experts in. Mm-hmm. Experts in topography. People that know what they're actually doing.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. Yeah. But for the time being, until that happens, if I was a jockey, I wouldn't want to ride there. If I was a trainer, I certainly wouldn't want to... You've got to think how much money goes into training a horse.
Yes.
You don't want to risk that on something where anything could happen, you know? A horse could slip up and be absolutely fine, be none the worse for it. But if it doesn't, you know, as a financial investment... That's just gone.
They need to sort that problem out before their next meeting, which is scheduled for June the 16th, or at least come up with a workaround before then. So we'll see what happens in the forthcoming month as far as Warwick's racecourse and the meetings are concerned.
You can't have a racecourse where you can only ride on heavy ground.
No.
Yeah, it something does need to be done there, and pretty sharpish by the looks of things.
Let's have a look at Thursday's racing action then. I'm in the studio alongside Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell. Looking forward to that. We'll be live from 1:40 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. Alex, you've decided to steer clear of the flat racing action on Thursday.
Yeah, I wasn't bowled over by it, to be honest. I won't profess to being especially into me Goodwood and Sandown form. Not as much as perhaps Northern Racing. And the card at Ayr, there were quite a few runners that are also down to run on Wednesday. So I think it'd be remiss of me to tip up a runner that may not take part. I think we'll see the field sizes pretty decimated there, to be honest. And plus, I think it's quite a strong Weatherby card, considering it's a Thursday afternoon. I was actually quite surprised for a summer jumping card. I think it's okay. So, we're going to look at three there.
I will start off with the 3:40 at Weatherby, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And you'd anticipate here that Dubai Prince is going to be a reasonably warm favourite here in the hands of AP McCoy, popular trainer as well, John Ferguson, winner last time out at 13-8. At Market Rosen. So you'd expect Dubai Prince to be quite short here.
Yeah. First and foremost, I think now is the time to be backing John Ferguson's horses because the ground is firm and all of his horses are imports from the flat who barely get the 2 mile trip. There was one of his that ran Royal Skies, a former Mark Johnson horse, ran at Weatherby on, I believe it was Boxing Day, when beaten by Handiwork, who's gone on to be okay. Pearl Skies was back in third. It was either Boxing Day or the beginning of November. Can't remember which one.
Okay.
But Royal Skies travelled beautifully all through the race under Dennis O'Regan, jumped 2 out, was 5 lengths clear, and just didn't get home. And in the end was outstayed by an inferior horse. Now the ground is firm. These are the kind of times that these horses will be coming to the fore. And Dubai Prince created such an impression when winning at Leicester the first time over hurdles, and people were going crazy about it because on breeding, it's a superb flat horse, taken over hurdles and has had the potential to really sort of take fields apart.
And just to pick up on the point you made about John Ferguson, he's had a couple of wide margin winners in the last few days as well. Schubert at Uttoxeter in that novice hurdle, and Manjikani, who jumped a little bit sketchily late on, but got over the last okay and won at Stratford. So a couple of winners in his last three The last that he sent out. That's before Wednesday's racing.
That was interesting because that drifted and wasn't really fancied. And when his are fancied, they tend to run well. You know, yeah. the market is usually a fairly good indicator of how his horses are going to perform. So I'd look at Jabbar Prince. You know, I'd keep an eye on the market with that one. And like I said, the firm ground plays into his horse's hands because it means that stamina is less of an issue. So Jabbar Prince has to be respected, created such a good impression at Leicester, then got bogged down in the ground and won at Market Raisin last time, dropped in class, was entitled to win there, did it fairly nicely. AP McCoy's on board today, which is interesting.
Yep.
Certainly a different riding style to Dennis O'Regan. Whether that will bring out the best in this horse, to be honest, I'm not sure. O'Regan rides these horses well because he's very good at drawing every last bit of stamina out of them. McCoy, of course, will. He's not incapable of riding like that at all. But he's certainly is more of a you will do as I say kind of jockey.
Aggressive.
Well, I wasn't going to use that word, but yeah. He is. He likes to kick and it'll be interesting to see how he does because I think this is quite a good race. You've got Laudatree carrying top weight for Nicky Henderson. It's interesting to see Freddie Mitchell take the ride on this one. Takes £7 off and is an okay amateur. It is interesting to see him ride this one. Laudatree does have claims on his best form, but carrying a fair bit of weight here, first run for 216 days, you'd imagine that'll just be enough to sort of put him off the list, if you like. Gas in Golf, very, very consistent. Every single run, you know what you're getting with this one. Runs in fields where there's a lot of runners, constantly runs well, but doesn't win. That's the thing. And has been creeping up the handicap, has gone from a mark of 121 to 129 without winning, but continues to run well, all grounds the same. We probably want a little bit more cut than he's going to get. Knight in Purple hasn't run for a long time, but won this race last year. Jabbar Prince we've touched on, Pair of Jacks won last time out, Fujin Dancer's no back number, Spring and Her Steps, interesting. Not a horse I particularly like, to be honest. She doesn't seem to want to put it all in. And is often overbet because she's trained by Nicky Henderson. Andrew Tinkler takes the ride on this one. The hood's fitted, and last time out was the opportunity for her, I think. But that said, the firmer the ground gets, the better for her. You know, she's been pulled out when the ground's been soft. But for me, with her attitude, I couldn't back her. I don't think she wants to put it all in. And Town Mouse and Tyresh have got tiny claims, but I really wouldn't want to be with those. This is quite a good race. I think I'd side with Gas in Golf. Consistent. If you can get an each-way price, great, because I think it will place. Richard Johnson on board. Hasn't ridden this horse for a while. Gets back on and gets on with it. You know you're going to get a run for your money. I'll put it that way.
The only thing is about that horse, and you mentioned it in the preview there, I don't like horses that have gone up in the handicap markedly without winning.
Very true. But you look at the horses that Gas and Golf's coming up against. Dubai Prince will either win or bomb out.
Yes.
Laudatory's too heavy. Knight in Purple is a danger, but fitness has to be taken on trust. Spring and Her Step doesn't like winning. When you've got a horse that is consistent and consistently runs well, yes, Gas and Golf's finished second a lot of times, as a Spring and Her Step, but Gas and Golf, the attitude is no problem there. Spring and Her Step doesn't seem to want to win. So I'll take Gas and Golf, each way if you can get it. Jabbar Prince certainly the main danger, and Market Watch is advised with that one.
We'll move on. Let's have a look at the 4:15 at Weatherby. A novice's hurdle over 2.5 miles. Nine of them go to post here. It will be interesting to see how Lexican Lad runs here, because clearly this is a horse that has had his problems, Alex.
Yeah, it's a really strange race, this one, because what you'd imagine will be the market principles in Alderbrook Lad and Lexican Lad are both chasers. This is a novice hurdle. So you're wondering why they're running in this, whether it's a pipe opener, whether they're just trying something different. You know, you don't know. Alderbrook Lad fell last time out, so you can kind of see why they'd take it over Timber. And it's been running recently as well. So that one does have claims, but it's always been a chase for Mickey Hammond. Lexican Lad's a pretty big horse, to be honest. Hasn't run for 370 days. Really, really interesting contender. And if this was a chase, I'd be back in Lexican Lad. But it isn't a chase. And you just wonder whether he's got the pace to maybe deal with a few of these. Now, you're looking for an alternative to those two, and they're not really jumping out at you. Iltest Stone, on the bare form, looks like could go close, but to be honest, it's not great form at all, and it's not getting particularly close to the leaders, when it, even though it has placed a few times. Quick Brew, on the other hand, I think that form can be upgraded a little bit. Some of the runs hasn't been getting that close to them, but behind the Liquidator at Carlisle, behind CU at Midnight, who, of course, has had a great season for Sandy Thompson. So Quick Brew, I think, is certainly the each-way play in this. Again, if you can get an each-way price about Quick Brew, I think that'll place, or place only, of course, on the
I think you'll almost get an each-way price about all of these horses here.
And that's the thing. I just think those front two, Alderbrook Lad and Lexicon Lad, are going to take a big chunk out of the market, and it may be worth looking elsewhere. I think Quick Brew is an each-way play. And the other one that I'll touch on is All Bar None for Will Kinsey. Second on his bumper debut here at 66-1. Makes his hurdles debut after a decent enough run, actually, last time at Haydock. I think Obonan might just be the play here. He's unexposed. He's coming up against chasers. Like I said, it's not one that shouts at you. But I just think you'll get a double figure price about this one, and I think that's too big. So I think Obonan is going to be the bet. But Quick Brew, I think, is an each way steal if you can get the price.
And finishing off with a fiendishly difficult Lady Riders Handicap hurdle, why would you ever consider making this one of your three?
Because you can rule a lot of horses out in these races based on their jockey. It sounds a bit harsh, but it's true. If you've got a jockey who is not up to scratch or is not as good as other jockeys in the race, it's going to have an effect.
Yeah.
If you've got a lot of amateur riders riding against, say, AP McCoy, who are you going to back? AP McCoy. Now, there's no one of AP McCoy's class in here. But, I mean, I've circled on my bit of paper here four jockeys that I think are the best in the race. You've got Sam Drake, Lucy Alexander, Gina Andrews and Ali Sterling. That's not to say that some of the others aren't decent, because some of them are. But I think following those, you won't go far wrong. I'm pretty confident that the winner will come from one of those four. We'll start with Ali Sterling. She rides Church Bray for Nigel Twist and Davies. Bits and pieces of good form. And it's interesting to see Nigel send one up here. For a bit of a nothing race, to be honest. Wouldn't be high on his priorities list. But so that one has to be respected. Gina Andrews rides Papillon Park, who's got bits and pieces of form, but hard to tip in as he has been currently running. I didn't say that very well, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
Which leaves me to the two, Sam Drake and Lucy Alexander, ride Urban Gale and Generous Chief, respectively. They are the two that I'll be focusing on here. Just one other to touch on is Rayador, who, of course, has won his last three, two of them at Wetherby. And Catherine Walton, who's not Mark's mum, has been gets on well with the horse, and he's actually quite a good jockey herself. But I just think the handicapper may have had his say now with Rayador. And I think he's up against two here. That Generous Chief is certainly the each-way play. Again, if you can get the each-way price, great, because Lucy Alexander's the best jockey in the field, and has been running reasonably well, to be honest. But I really like Urban Gale here. Scored on his stable debut last time out, had switched yards and benefited from that. Yes, the ground was soft at Sedgefield, and this will be a different test. But Sam Drake is a good jockey. She rides Wetherby well. And I think Urban Gale is, to be honest, I think a pretty confident selection for this one, considering the fact that you've got however many, 16 runners in a Lady Riders Handicap hurdle. It's as confident a selection as I could have in such a race.
I like it. The three picks then in the 3:40 at Wetherby Gas in Golf, in the 4:15 All Bar None with a look at Quick Brew as well from an each-way betting perspective, and in the 5:25 we've just heard from Alex on that one, Urban Gale, the selection there with a look at Generous Chief as well.
Yeah.
So some picks for you to get stuck into on Thursday. I'll be back, myself, Dave Kellner, with Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell for the racing action on Thursday, kicking things off at 1:40 p.m. live on William Hill Radio. Do tweet us at Will Hill Racing, drop us an email as well, studio@williamhill.co.uk. We'll cover the meetings at Goodwood, Wetherby in the afternoon, and in the evening, Sandown, Salisbury and Clonmel on the agenda. It should be fun. Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
It's always an entertaining afternoon with Mr. Pimlott in the studio, so looking forward to that. Thank you for listening to Thursday's Racing Podcast. Thanks to Alex for his selections on Thursday's Racing Podcast as well, and we'll pick this up on Thursday afternoon, and speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.